Tomboy is a solo show by artist Nancy Cato. It's showing at the African American Arts and Culture Complex in San Francisco now through September 18th. It's part of the National Queer Arts Festival, which held dozens of events and openings last month, including the opening of Tomboy. Nancy joins me now. Nancy, so good to have you with us on Women's Magazine. You say your show is challenging the stereotypes about what tomboys are. What are some of those stereotypes and how did they impact you growing up?
Well, initially, it was about wearing dresses. Like girls should wear dresses. Girls should play with dolls and you don't climb trees. You definitely don't jump off a roof. Back then, mud wasn't really, encouraged. Well, although I Googled children in mud recently and all these pictures of girls in mud, so I'm glad to see that we've come a long way. You know, mud is acceptable now.
So talk about your show. Well, first of all, when did you start drawing?
I guess I was around 12, maybe. My Uncle Donnie, he wasn't around when I was younger, but I had his art book. And he did a lot of pictures. I don't know if he copied them himself, but they were kind of graphic novel kind of pictures. And I would copy them, you know what I mean? Like pinup poster girls, that kind of thing. And I would copy them. And I think that's how I started. And then I did a TV guide, if you draw Tippi, you get to go to Minnesota School of Art. I don't know if you've ever done that. Well, I drew Tippi and I drew it well. So, I was accepted to the Minnesota College of Art.
Wait, so this is like one of those back of the matchbook art school applications that I always thought that was an urban legend.
No, TV Guy had one and I applied myself and I got accepted.
What was studying art as opposed to just doing it? How did that change how you did art?
Well, I guess it became more of a procedure and more of a history instead of just going into it in structure. That's what it was. You know what I mean? When you're just doing it just to be doing it, you're coming off the top of your head, kind of footloose and fancy free. You draw whatever you want to. But when you go to school, there's more of a structure, and they set themes for you and there's guidelines.
Do you think it made you a better artist?
I think meeting my illustration teacher, Abe Echeverria, made me a better artist because he encouraged me to sort of take ownership of my thoughts and that it was my responsibility to bring my thoughts to fruition and I needed to do it the way I felt it needed to be done, not the Disney way, not the this way, not the that way, but the Nancy Cato way.
So is this your first solo show?
Absolutely. Very first solo show. I've been looking forward to it for a long time. And I guess I'm happy that this is the first show because it's dear to my heart. It was an idea I had been kicking around for, a long time, maybe 10 years. And it's nice that it's come to fruition, and at the African American Cultural Center is very important to me. So, yes.
So can you talk a little about the art in the show, the pieces in the show? How many pieces is it? And are these pieces that you have done over a long period of time, or are they all pieces that were created just in the last year for the show?
I believe it's about 20 pieces. They're all brand new pieces. I have never drawn this much in my life or inked in this much work in my life. And I did hit a wall at some point when I didn't think I was going to be able to finish. But I did. So it's all new stuff. That's what makes it for me more exciting and interesting because people can come and see, even my friends can come and see, hey, look what I've been working on, all new body of work.
So this card that you just handed me has a pretty androgynous looking person in a hoodie with a slingshot and some humongous sneakers, which is really great. Why did you decide to put this piece on the card announcing the show?
when I was younger, slingshots were very much in vogue. It didn't look like that slingshot. That's a really nice slingshot. We created these slingshots with 2x4s and those pins that your mom would hang up the clothes with. Clothesline pins, yeah. But it symbolized one of the biggest no-nos, I think, for little girls to have a slingshot and nunchucks. So, you know, nunchucks, Bruce Lee nunchucks, you know what you would...
You know, I don't. What's a nunchuck?
Oh, they're like, have you ever seen Bruce Lee? They're two pieces of wood. We used to cut our broomsticks, yeah, our mom's broomsticks in half. And, you know, you put them together with a chain, you know, and some nails. And then you had, you know, nunchucks. I mean, you had to have them. So. And then you would travel around the street with them in your back pocket because they were illegal, supposedly. And, you know.
Yeah. So what would you do with them?
Oh, we would just act like Bruce Lee. You know, for a girl, for me, it was like it's power, you know? I mean, I built this dangerous weapon and I had it in my back pocket.
So did you play with boys when you were growing up, or were there other tomboys that you hung with?
I wish, but no, it was a crew of boys. And we got into a lot of stuff. We had a lot of fun. I'm just recalling how we came across some powder blue paint in somebody's garage, and we decided to paint this wagon. And it wasn't your water-based paint. So we came home, we had to sneak in the house because we were head to toe in paint. And I mean, grass stains were not allowed in my house. So powder blue paint was not going to go over well. I don't remember anything other than sneaking up the steps and trying to get rid of those clothes. But I you know, I wish my mother was around to tell me what she did to us then, because I don't recall.
Were these your brothers that you were playing with, or other kids from the neighborhood, or both?
Oh, both. I had one brother, Kevin, and then other kids from the neighborhood.
And did there come a point in maybe your teen years or something when the boys treated you differently or didn't want to play with you anymore or hang with you anymore?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't remember how old I was, but it just happened one day when I was, ready to go out and, you know, hang out with the guys and everything. And my brother was just like, basically, you know, you have to stay home. And as hurt as I was, I understood that things were changing, that they were starting to see me as a girl and not a guy anymore. And so, yeah, I viewed myself as the leader of the pack because I was the oldest. And so my brother took charge and said, this has to stop, basically.
And so then what did you do?
Man, I just kind of stuck close to home. I got more into my drawing. Graffiti was coming around at that time, so, you know, it's kind of like I had a lot to work on, like trying to create graffiti and just all these different characters and stuff. So yeah, I got more into my artwork. And I think I was heading into high school not too far after that.
And yeah, you do have kind of a graffiti style, just looking at it. So, I mean, did you experiment with paint and other forms of art, and, you know, why do you feel like pen and ink is what works for you?
I've dabbled in watercolor, which I absolutely love, just because I love what happens when the water hits the paint. But pen and ink, I think I've gravitated towards that because I really love line. You know, if you look at my lines, I have a thick and thin kind of thing going on. One of the reasons why I don't use color is because I don't know how to keep the integrity of my line strong with the presence of color. Because usually when I see people use color, it's so beautiful and it takes up a lot of space and energy. And I haven't seen anyone necessarily balance it to where it's like, oh my God, this nice color. Oh, look at those lines. You know what I mean? So I haven't been able to do it.
So how has it been being part of the Queer Arts Festival? What was that process like?
It was very interesting because I guess up until this point, I hadn't identified as a queer artist, more of a, as a, I guess you say, a black female artist. So this show has, I guess it's sort of thrown another label on me, which is interesting, because you know, there's a lot more going on. It's been nice to channel energy into that part of me. You know what I mean? That being a tomboy for me has segued into being a gay woman, lesbian, and it's nice. I mean, I think I thought I'm just touching upon it, but I think I didn't know how to balance my work with being gay, and maybe that's something that I will struggle with. I'm not sure, but there's a lot of ideas and thoughts I have around it.
So now you have a son. He's, I think you said, 2.5. Are you raising him consciously to question gender stereotypes and try out? I mean, are you encouraging him to put on dresses or, you know, play with dolls? Or how's that working in your household?
I do not encourage him to do that. He does that on his own. Not necessarily the dresses, but I'm sure he's curious about our bras and things of that nature. But if he were to wonder, I would hope I would have the words for him. I definitely wouldn't keep him from doing things. I think I'm still not questioning myself, because I know it, definitely where I stand, but I'm still trying to understand what it means to be a gay and an artist. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? And a black artist. I mean, there's so many levels, you know, that I'm still exploring myself. So I guess we'd explore it as a family, you know.
And your partner Fiona's an artist too, I think. So is that helpful for both of you in pursuing your art, or is there sometimes a tension because it might be easier if you were the only artist in the family?
I think it's helpful in the sense that she can see things as an artist. I don't want to say clearer, but she has a formal education on art. My education was liberal arts, you know, but she went to art school, you know, so sometimes the things that she sees is very helpful, you know what I mean? Because she has that strong foundation, you know, like in color and composition, and all these things that I had to learn sort of on the fly. Now, as far as like the way we work, we both work differently. I'm super duper tight, and she's really loose, you know what I mean? And so we can go out and sort of play off of each other, you know what I mean, as far as styles are concerned, you know. So
what do you mean by tight and loose?
My lines are really tight. I have really tight lines, and Fiona flows kind of like.
And, I mean, just going back to the identity issues for a minute, do you feel like you have to choose between whether you're a black artist or whether you're a queer artist, or can you be a, you know, black queer artist, or do you not even necessarily have to have a label like that?
I think I would rather not have a label, because I could do whatever's on my heart, you know. At the root of everything, I am a black artist. Gay comes out, you know, a little bit of straight comes out, whatever. It will be rooted in being black. You know what I mean? Most people, when they see me, they'll see, oh, there's a black male right there. You know what I mean? So I get viewed like that. You know, you're not going to say, oh, there's a gay or lesbian over, you know, there's a lesbian that's black. You know, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be a black male.
Interesting. I guess they're not staring at your chest. So in your bio, it says, in most of Nancy's work, you'll find that her illustrations primarily center on the individual. The issue being addressed may affect the community at large, but for her, the individual creates the community. What does that mean to you?
I've always been interested in sort of everyday people. And I think everyday people are absolutely fascinating. seems like that runs in my family, interested, being interested in people. So when I'm drawing, I illustrate the character. I'm not interested in whether there's a house behind them or there's birds flying overhead, unless it has something to do with the picture that I'm trying to say. And I have had folks ask me, hey, that person could use an environment. And I guess I'm not concerned about their environment unless it has to do with what I'm trying to say. So I'm always trying to keep people in the forefront. And thinking about how that goes back to community, all of the people that I illustrate come from the community that I've witnessed, you know. They're just snapshots of people that I've come in contact, maybe seen on a bus, BART. That being said, if you see my work and you know, if you witnessed it like all together, you would see the community. And that's what's important to me is if you had an opportunity to witness the individual and the humanity of the individual, perhaps you could delve deeper into the community. And I'm primarily speaking of Black people looking at ourselves, you know, and wanting to delve deeper into ourselves and loving what they see. When I started to draw, originally, most of my characters were white. I did not draw Black people. You know what I mean? And that has to do with, you know, just be inundated with white characters growing up. You don't see yourself. I actually was asked by a photography teacher why I was drawing all these Jewish kids. And I was just like, what are you talking about? First of all, I didn't know they were Jewish. He's just like, you know, go on, you know, you're Black. And I was just like, what is he talking about? And, you know, I could show you my old work and then see the new work. It's very different. It's night and day, you know. And so that's like, going back to community, is actually looking at your community, taking it, soaking it up, and giving it back to the community so they can see themselves. And that has been amazing. And I think that when people see themselves, if you're there and you're available to see it and to love what you see and to take it in, it's like, wow, there I am.
So what's next for Nancy Cato?
ArtSpan. Open Studios with the Bayview Opera House. That seems to be next. I really want to get into doing children's books. So, yeah, I'm tired of reading other people's books to my son. They're nice, but I would like to, you know, there's a lot of topics that I would like to illustrate to help him.
Yeah, I mean, I think children's books would be great because there's been a lot written recently about how undiverse the world of children's books still is and how, you know, what the world that's depicted in the books mm-hmm. that there are for kids really doesn't reflect the world they live in. So,
right. Yeah, that's very true. Looking for books that have been created by Black people in the children's sector has been very difficult. And I thought it was just because I wasn't, like, reaching out enough. But, I mean, I've been online. I've Googled. And when I see other people, when I go to other people's homes, I comb their children's library to see, you know, what do you have? Or what do you have? You know, what are you doing? You know, do you see any good books? And some people don't think it's important. I've talked to Black parents who just, you know, they don't think it's important. I do. I think it's extremely important to see yourself. And it doesn't have to be like heavy. I just want to see some Black people doing regular stuff. And I guess the closest I got to that was Keats. That's his name, Keats. I don't know his name, but Keats. Yeah, he's done a lot of children's books. And, you know, he's gotten a lot of awards and recognition for being initially like one of the first diverse illustrators out there. Well, we gravitated towards that, and we have his books at home, and Sekou loves them. I would like to just thank Fiona and Sekou for their love and support during this time. And I guess we just keep moving forward.
I really look forward to seeing Tomboy at the African American Arts and Culture Complex, 762 Fulton Street. It's up through September 18th. The work that I can see is really impressive, and I think that everyone who goes will really get a lot out of it. So highly recommend. And Nancy Cato, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
The African American Arts and Culture Complex is at 762 Fulton Street in San Francisco between Buchanan and Webster. It's open noon to 5 p.m. every day of the week. And once again, the show is up through September 18th. So there's plenty of time to get there, but don't wait too long because those dates do have a way of creeping up on us. And we will put that information on our website, kpfawomensmag.blogspot.com.